and Social Services, when I was talking to them last year, that in Juneau at least, over half of the licensed facilities are already meeting federal standards. So it's not as big a thing as it's sometimes made out to be. We urge that this bill remain in committee or perhaps referred to the Legislative Council to allow time for public hearings and seeking of informed input and the application of forethought and research to the particulars of this bill so that we are not caught with too many afterthoughts that are too late for correction. And at the end of the page is, for your information, the League's newly formed daycare position paper that you can have. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you get that? I thought I
I'm Sister Joseph Mary, Director of St. Anne's Daycare Center in Juneau. This is a licensed center caring for 75 children ages 3 through 5 years. I'm also connected with St. Anne's Nursery, an infant care center providing daycare for 25 small children ages 5 months through 3 years. I've worked with these programs for the past 3 years and have seen a great deal of growth in the provision of good child care in Alaska. Much of this improvement in quality of care is due to the work of the Division of Social Service staff. Our program follows the federal guidelines for daycare facilities. These regulations spell out the minimum requirements for providing really good care for children, including staff ratio and programming. The regulations proposed by the state are less stringent than those of the federal guidelines, but I feel the state regulations are reasonable and helpful, and moreover, that the Division of Social Services is the logical body for providing licensing. In all but one other state in the nation, the state health and social service departments handle licensing. These are the people who, by reason of training and experience, not only can do the licensing, but also provide a continuing service to daycare providers. Municipalities and/or community and regional affairs have neither staff nor experience in this area. We have gone through a history of working with local governments in model city programs and now community and regional affairs in daycare assistance programs. There is no comparison between these amateurs and the capable staff of the Division of Social Services. They have acknowledged that they have a hard time just keeping up with the programs as it is. And that it was explained to me this morning that there, besides the job of daycare assistants, they also have other jobs to perform. Many of the children coming to our center have received care in unlicensed family daycare homes. I have been concerned and sometimes appalled by the experiences parents have shared with me about some of these homes. Children have gone through damaging experiences before the parents became aware of circumstances. Licensing assures parents again of some basic minimum that the home provides. This provides children with the same protection that we are looking for in seeking a licensed dentist or doctor. It tells the parents things he can't find out on an individual appraisal. It's a protection and a service to children and parents. In conclusion, I would like to request that you continue to vest authority for licensing daycare facilities with the Department of Health and Social Services and require licensing of all daycare centers and family daycare homes. We are sponsored by Catholic Community Service. It is a daycare for all denominations, religions. In fact, we don't even know the religions of most of our children.
Where is your facility?
On 5th and Harris. That's in the old St. Anne's School. Yeah. We're renting from the parish there. We're renting the building.
I think you're up. Anderson does.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify that, Mr. Berry? I had you on the list here, but you walked out of that one with your turn.
No, I'll tell you, Mr. Chairman, this morning I was ruled out of order and proved to myself I was, and I had to go up to the men's room. And the men's room down here doesn't have a window, and the lights were out, and it was dark, so I had to go up to the second floor. I can't draw as long as it used to.
I had you listed right after the department.
Right, thank you, sir. But I'm sorry that I have to apologize. I can't be of much more help to the committee at this time as I would like to be, but I have sent telegrams, made phone calls to all of the boroughs, the unified governments, and home rule cities not in an organized borough. So far, we have heard from five of the boroughs. You heard Anchorage's testimony this morning, and Gateway Borough, Juneau, Fairbanks, North Star Borough, and the Mat-Su Borough are opposed to Senate Bill 753 in its present form. And I think that one of the big reasons is that we keep getting this testimony that it's purely optional. We can do it if we want to, or we don't have to do it. But basically, the bottom line says that if you don't do it, then your community has no daycare facility programs. Because under the definition, the way they changed it now, if you're not licensed by an organized borough or a municipality, then you're not recognized as a daycare center, which really takes the option out. Because there are lots of reasons why sometimes a borough assembly can't pass every ordinance that they want. Or there's local community would like some time to set its own priority and not have a state responsibility thrust upon it by a bill like House Bill 753. I think that other testimony has indicated that maybe with a little time and a chance to study this bill, study some other alternatives that possibly the municipalities can see the advantage. But right now we think we're just being forced to take over a statewide responsibility in a program that, surprisingly enough, we thought was working well this past year through the community and regional affairs and the contracting with municipalities for daycare centers. But at least the five that I've heard from now, and as I hear from the others, there certainly is no enthusiasm among the local communities to take over the licensing program of daycare facilities under the provisions of House Bill 753, Senate Bill 753, excuse me.
We certainly appreciate your efforts in contacting
you. Well, as I say, I apologize for not having more, but as they come in, well, the committee will certainly make up a packet and make sure you get all of them. And some of them who have called have indicated that they're sending much more detailed written testimony, and those who have wired have indicated that they will also. But we do agree with the League. It's pretty hard to introduce a bill on the 28th of April and get input from the state of Alaska by the 1st of May. The League of Women Voters, not the municipal. Well, and you know, you can see the reaction if some reason or other an assembly doesn't pass an ordinance to license daycare facility. If you think this hearing down in City Hall here was rough, you can imagine what it's going to be up there. And there's lots of reasons why, you know. If you're working on a 10-year plan, a lot of priorities have already been set. And to have the state in a week tell you, well, your priorities be damned, you've got one more responsibility that we're giving you right now.
Well, Mr. Berry, I'd only like to point out that you'd only be giving back a responsibility that was taken away from the local area. I'd like to say also that wouldn't you think that the response from the local areas might be different if the effective date of this were a year from now or something?
I'm sure that that would make it much more amenable, Mr. Hackney. There's no doubt about it. And there's no doubt in my mind that we'd run the program better than it's been run after a while. But just to take it overnight is a little rough on some of these people.
Isn't it fairly safe to say that most of the municipalities are primarily concerned about the money situation?
Yes.
They set their priorities,
right.
Their budgets are set
on increasing. And the criticism, too, that It's really sort of a deceptive bill. In one part of it, it says they may license daycare facilities. In Title 29, they give you that power. Then they go down, and later on in 44 or something like that, they describe a daycare facility as one that has been licensed by a municipality. Well, it's pretty hard to say in Title 29 you may do this, but in Title 24 tell you'd better do it or you don't get any money. And I think maybe this is one of the problems with Senate bill, is that they try to amend three different titles in this one bill and have tried to do it in less than a week. And it's pretty hard to do.
I believe, just as I was getting out, you asked me if this duplication that I had was done at division's expenses, and it was not. Didn't you ask me that as I got out?
No, I just said that we were all gifted with these.
We may have...
Okay. I misunderstood you, but
nobody
I thought...
Nobody misses
it.
Obligated
I wanted
by
to make
law
that clear.
To give them to you.
We are meeting at Monday morning at 9. We may take this back up because there's some other things we need to consider. There's a couple other bills that this committee's been playing with, and we may have those up as well. We will be meeting Monday morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I didn't know whether there would be an opportunity to testify, and I have a very brief letter that I could just hand out to you. Because I know you've had a long day. This is. Maybe I can just hand you my letter. I make a statement in opposition to the passage of this bill, and I think the letter is explanatory.
Call the meeting to order, please. Continuing discussions on House or Senate Bill 753, and I think that I'm going to ask the representatives from the Budget and Management to come up with some new information, as I understand it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Michael Arlo from the Division of Budget and Management. The question that you asked Friday was about the Title 20 money, $585,000, and whether that would be a loss to the state. Would we be able to have more programs, social service programs, where we could claim Title 20? Looking at some of the budgets in other social services, we find that currently, for social workers and some administrative people, Title 20 is eligible to be claimed. And in the governor's budget, we claimed the full $4 million for salaries and some daycare and whatever. Salary increases that are going to occur next year currently are budgeted with general fund money. Those positions would be eligible to be funded 75% salary increase with Title 20. The amount of Title 20 that we could be used for salary increases for the social workers and some other personnel at HNSS is approximately between $200,000 and $300,000. Which would give a balance of about $300,000 of Title 20 federal money that currently we would not be claiming.
So you're saying that $200,000 to $300,000, that's used for salaries right now, that's being paid out of general fund money, could be paid out of the
Title 20
money. So that is, if we said $300,000. Up to Title 20 money, then we'd have to use $150,000. There'd have to be a match there, right? So if it was $300,000, it was used for salaries. That's the total. Then it would be $100,000 of general fund money there. Anyway.
Right. The general fund money is currently covered in the salary increase appropriation bills. So it'd just be a question of replacing about $300,000 of the general fund with $300,000 of federal fund.
I see. So then the bottom line over here, the new appropriation required would be?
The salary increase money is in separate appropriation bills. When we allocate the money, it would be allocated at that time. We wouldn't want to fund the community regional affairs need by any less amount of general funds. We just couldn't use that general fund amount. It would just be the general funds reduced and these other appropriation bills.
Which brings the bottom line total to what?
I don't know which bottom line figure you're referring to. That $617,000?
Right.
They would still need that of general fund. It's another appropriation bill that has general funds that would be reduced.
By how much?
By about $300,000. We could claim $300,000 of Title 20 for salary increases that currently are budgeted or requested as general funds. These other appropriation salary increase bills would be the bills that would be reduced.
Okay. So we're just, so when we talk about new money, we're talking about $317,000 rather than $617,000. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions? Mrs. Ostrowski.
You're referring to salaries for what types of positions?
Positions in the Department of Health and Social Services that are eligible for Title 20, which would be social workers, and then through the cost allocation plan, some of the administrative people for the amount of time they spend on social service Title 20 programs. So it's split between a couple of appropriations.
You know, there's something else I've been trying to figure out here since the last week's hearings, and maybe you're able to answer it, maybe you're not, but there's been an implication that we're going to lose the Title 20 monies. We're not going to be able to use those monies for daycare in a matter of a few months or something like this. Are you familiar with that?
No,
sir. Debbie?
Sandra and I might be able to speak on the federal daycare staffing standards.
Are you able to respond to that question directly?
Yes, only the Department of Health and Social Services can receive Title 20 money according to federal. It's the designated agency. Only one agency in the state can receive Title 20 funds. Therefore, if the program is administered by Community Regional Affairs, then Title 20 claim cannot be made.
That's not my question. My question is, it's been implied that within 6 months or so, the state's not going to be able to receive, not going to be able to expend those Title 20 monies on daycare anyway. Is there anything to that?
That's not clear, and the indications are still good that we will be able to. That's the part I was talking about in my testimony, that the president vetoed a bill that would have relieved us of the requirement of meeting Title 20 July 1st. It failed to override in the Senate by 3 votes. The president turned around again and submitted legislation that would waive the federal requirements till October 1977. Very good chance that'll pass. So if that passes, it's retroactive and we can continue to purchase daycare and receive Title 20 funds without a problem until October 1977.
If it doesn't pass, though, What effect is it?
If it doesn't pass, then we could not make a claim unless those daycare facilities met the federal requirements. I don't know the number, but the 5 or 6 or more do meet the requirements.
5 or 6 of?
I don't know the number. The 5 or 6 centers in the state do meet the federal requirements now, and a claim could more than. $10,000 to $15,000,
something like that, do meet the federal requirements now, and a claim could be made against daycare purchased in those centers, notably in Fairbanks, Darrell. Well, it doesn't sound like to me that you even know for sure, though. Oh, well. Any other questions for Mr. Holdoff?
I have one more comment.
Sure.
If Title 20 ceiling and everything else remains the same in fiscal year 78, and the state is not able to claim the full $4 million this coming year, or if we were able to claim the full $4 million this year, next year's inflation and salary increases would have to be general funds. So if we're not able to claim the full $4 million this year, the fiscal year 78 budget would have a less impact on the general fund because we'd have more Title 20 to claim next year.
Are you familiar with, you weren't here the other day when Marcia and Debbie testified, were you?
No, sir.
They're here now, so they can respond to this, but it seemed to me that they were saying that that you could get around this requirement that that since Hess is the only one that can receive the Title 20 monies, they had it figured out to where they could pass it through to CRA on a subcontract basis, and they could further sub it, and in fact we could use the Title 20 monies. But that was where the implication came in, that that we weren't going to be able to continue to use those monies anyway, no matter where it went, because of these new federal regulations. Now, can they do that? Now, since you're from office and the Office of Budget and Management, can those funds be transferred, those Title 20 funds, can they be transferred from HES to CRA?
I'm not exactly sure how the Title 20 regulations relate to the purchase of service to another state's agency.
Sam, can you respond to that directly?
It could be done the way Marcia and them described it, technically, yes. We could write an interagency agreement with CNRA to technically manage the funds, but if the statute gave authority to CNRA to manage, if I'm not an attorney, but I would assume that if the bill passed, the way the language is in this bill, then we could not do that. We could not, because the bill gives them the authority to spend and prevents us from spending, and therefore we couldn't enter into that kind of an agreement.
Eric?
Also, it wouldn't accomplish a whole lot in the sense that we would still have federal regulations. If they did occur, if they didn't occur, that really isn't the problem. One of the advantages of moving it over is to avoid those federal problems. And you wouldn't avoid it by going that route.
Or more.
By transferring federal 20 funds rather than state funds.
One of the advantages, other than fiscal, to transferring it over is getting rid of this dual daycare program and simplifying the process for the clients and for the operators and for you and understanding what the bill is going on.
Well, I'm just trying to understand about these Title 20 monies, and I think I'm getting more confused as I go along here. But go ahead.
Then what you're saying is, if we don't, if we aren't accepting Title 20, then we're also relieved of the federal requirements.
That's
Does
correct.
Does it go hand in hand?
That's correct.
Give up the money, you're out from under the federal.
And it's very difficult to predict what Congress is going to do, but generally. Once they've come head to head with this test of Congress saying we want to do this, and the president says no, you're not, and they try to override and they fail, and the president immediately comes back with a bill that offers relief, usually they pass that then because they've gone head to head, and then they're in a political position that they've got to offer some relief until they can resolve the issue later. That's why no one can guess, but I'm optimistic that this next bill will pass.
So if it passes, the money, the funds could be received by you, and you could still right. But you, if the bill passes, you wouldn't have to worry about the federal regulations.
That's
until
correct.
18 months now. Okay, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, I just would like to point out again, there are essentially two major factors involved in this bill. One is the transferring of authority to the AFDC funded children. And the second portion of it is the licensing authority, removing that from the Department of Health and Social Services and placing that on the local entity. And I think that those two things, although they're being considered together, could in fact be considered separately. And I think that's what Sam was saying also, that there are essentially two different, or two completely separate items in this, as well as the licensing. And the problem is with determining what we're going to do with the Title 20 money. When we're going to do with the Title 20 money.
Okay. Are there further questions? Thank you, sir. There's still a couple people that are left to. Mary Gillian, is that right?
Good morning. My name is Mary Gillian, and I'm from Anchorage. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter in daycare 4 days a week at Hillcrest Daycare Center in Anchorage. I'm also president of the Ad Hoc Parent Committee on Daycare, which represents a number of parents, some daycare and preschool operators, the Anchorage Association for the Education of Young Children, some CNRA daycare parents. As a parent, I am frightened by the implications of Senate Bill 753. As I understand the bill, the Department of Health and Social Services would no longer have the authority to license daycare centers and family daycare homes in the state, and no statewide minimum standards would be required for the operation of such facilities. I am strongly opposed to this action. I feel that maintaining minimum standards statewide is critical to the health and safety and mental and emotional development of Alaska's young children. I certainly do not oppose local control of licensing and regulating standards for daycare facilities, but I feel that statewide standards below which no community can fall is critical for the protection of children. Senate Bill 753 makes the establishment of standards for daycare facilities and licensing in a community optional. If a community chose to have no standards, children would be totally unprotected. I can't believe that children under age 6 should not be afforded the same protection that we take for granted in the public schools for children 6 through 17. Just what are the state's very strict requirements for daycare facilities that, according to Senator Coletta, are partially causing high prices for daycare? Facilities have to meet basic building, fire life safety, and sanitation standards. All daycare operators in the state are required to provide lunches and snacks for children in care. There must be safe outside play areas. Liability insurance is required of all centers. Under current law, one adult is required for every 10 children in daycare, and there are only minimum age, health, and qualification standards for caregivers. Senator Coletta says if local communities control daycare facilities, prices for daycare would be lowered. I challenge that statement. Yes, if minimum standards were not met, the price of operating a daycare facility would be lowered. But there is certainly no guarantee that this reduced cost would be passed on to parents. And the question of quality in a daycare facility is totally ignored. Under the proposed bill, if a community set no daycare standards, facilities would no longer have to provide food, safe outdoor play areas, meet minimum building, fire, and sanitation requirements. And there could be even one adult caring for 75, 100, or even more children. Requirements about the age, physical health, and qualifications of staff members would be non-existent. There would be no authority to check for crimes against children, including child molesting, child abuse, and neglect. Even with a statewide licensing program, only last summer a grand jury investigation into daycare in Anchorage called for more stringent requirements for daycare facilities. Requirements for center operators and staff were called grossly inadequate. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with this situation in Anchorage last summer, I'd like to read a portion of the grand jury's report. There would appear to be adequate provisions and regulations providing for the plant of daycare centers, but grossly inadequate regulations regarding the moral character of operators or staff. In addition to the current state and borough regulations, it is our recommendation that the state and borough require the applicant for a license or permit to provide information regarding his or her educational and criminal background, addiction, and alcoholic and emotional problems. That said applicant, as well as any other staff, have annual assessments by a licensed physician evaluating physical and mental competence to care for children. That staff shall include all persons, including operators and administrators, that have contact with children. There should be a change in regulation granting the enforcement staff of the regulating agency the authority to take immediate action to the point of closure if valid complaints and violations are not corrected, or when the first violation is serious enough to indicate immediate danger to public safety. My question is, who will know without standards and licensing if there are valid complaints? Who will know if there is an immediate danger to public safety? Where does a parent report atrocities she sees? She can take her child out of the facility if she is aware of an atrocity and if she's concerned, and if she can make other arrangements. But who does she tell to warn another parent? What does she do? Who cares? The grand jury report also addressed the question of local control of daycare facilities, qualifications. The report says that whenever feasible, state authority concerning child care centers be delegated to an organized borough agency to enforce state as well as borough regulations to avoid duplication of services. Under existing law, municipalities can contract with the Department of Health and Social Services for licensing their own daycare centers. If more emphasis needs to be placed on this program, let's do it. Let's provide additional assistance and training to help a municipality set up a local program. But let's not throw minimum standards down a rat hole and say standards in a community are optional. The grand jury report concludes. It also appears that the agencies responsible for the child care centers are understaffed. Our recommendation would be additions to field staff. In conclusion, it must be recognized that adequate regulations are no guarantee that child care facilities are adequate unless the persons responsible for the enforcement of the regulations take action. Now, for anyone naive enough to think that people dealing in child care have a pretty good grasp of what's good for a child and would do the right thing, I'd like to read an article from the July 25th, 1975 Anchorage Times. This article discussed the incident resulting in the grand jury investigation and then goes on to discuss daycare conditions at Anchorage. Of operators and staff of daycare centers in Alaska are grossly inadequate according to a grand jury report filed in Superior Court here. Public attention was focused on child care and the qualifications of people in that business when Charles Hill was arrested June 20 for allegedly raping the young mother of a child being brought to his Charlie-bound daycare center here. The 33-year-old child care center owner-operator was indicted by a grand jury for allegedly forcing the mother into a bathroom and assaulting her on June 7th. And the article goes on to mention these things I've already read in the grand jury report. And then it goes on to talk about an incident in Anchorage concerning daycare. Enforcement of even the existing child care center regulations keeps the Borough Health Department hopping. Quote, twice in the past few weeks I discovered basements where children were left with someone while parents work, said Mike Renee of the health department. He is in charge of viewing child care facilities throughout the borough. In one of these basements, a 17-year-old girl was alone with more than 20 children. At least 8 of them were infants. They were in beds, sinks, bathtubs, and cribs. If there had been a fire, I told her at least 3 children would have died. They tend to hide in such instances, and the basement had only one exit, he said. When I closed her operation down, she was so angry she turned in the names of 3 other people she knew who were operating similar facilities without licenses, Renee reported. You know, he added, often the money received for this kind of care is not even reported for income tax purposes, and people often pay $100 per month. That was a year ago. Things were more expensive. Besides the physical facilities, Renee said, how about the parenting going on in these unlicensed places? Are the children fed? Are they beaten? Are they left with nothing to do? Does the babysitter drink? Is she on drugs? In the same breath, Renee endorsed the grand jury's effort into the child care question. The borough licenses facilities throughout its jurisdiction which care for 5 or more unrelated children under age 6. The child care code includes nurseries, schools not in a school district, group homes, and daycare facilities. There are about 1,700 authorized slots for children in licensed daycare facilities in the Anchorage area, Renee said. There are probably 10,000 children whose parents or guardians could make use of a child care center. I would like to examine one requirement for daycare centers in depth to see if that requirement is really needed. As I said earlier, staff ratios under current law call for one staff person for every 10 children and only recommend one staff person for every 5 children for children under age 3. There are some proposed revisions to these requirements which call for one adult for every 4 infants, one adult for every 5 toddlers, and one adult for every 10 children up to age 6, but limiting the size for 2-year-olds to 6 children. As a mother of a child 2.5, I feel very strongly about this staff ratio. Naturally, staff ratio alone does not make a good program, but it's a beginning and a critical one. I favor the proposed stricter regulations and I'm uncomfortable with even the existing ones. Hillcrest and Anchorage has been operating since 1968 with a child staff ratio similar to the proposed requirement, and I strongly favor it. Small children need so much attention, and they need an intimate little group of children and a staff person they can relate to as a second mother. My daughter knows the names of all the little children, talks about them, and talks about the staff. I remember when I first went to Hillcrest and put my name on the waiting list, Mrs. Mouse told me they only took 10 toddlers because that was the age of toilet training and biting and fighting. Children at that age are just beginning to learn how to deal with anger and frustration and expressing themselves. You can't expect a 2-year-old to be able to function well in a group of 20 little kids with one hairy attendant. That doesn't even meet basic maintenance care, much less enriching care. I know I speak for many parents when I say I want those hours my daughter spends away from her parents to be as enriching and stimulating as possible. Recent studies on child development from Harvard University, and I'm referring to Burton White's book, The First 3 Years, and other studies state that a child's capacity for learning is basically developed by age 3. Now that's overwhelming. I can't believe we could submit a child to a sea of little children milling around unloved and unsupervised so some institution could make a wider profit margin. If Hillcrest has been able to operate on a comparable price scale to centers with less strict standards, then I think other child care facilities can stay in business and still be meet some basic requirements and be required to meet them by the state of Alaska. I have mostly addressed myself to standards for daycare centers, but family daycare homes, especially in the bush, provide a large amount of daycare in Alaska. I realize that the problems and the lifestyle of people in bush communities are different from those people living in urban areas. Neither current nor proposed regulations insist on running water, a plumbing system, or other elaborate facilities in communities where this is not the norm. A fire extinguisher, 2 exits, a physical exam for the daycare mother, time tests for the children, and a limit of 6 children are the basic requirements. I don't feel these are unreasonable requirements for anyone to meet, regardless of the culture of the community. In fact, proposed regulations by the Department of Health and Social Services include a waiver clause for even basic requirements. I'll read that section of the proposed regulations. Every daycare facility shall meet required local and state fire, safety, health, sanitation, and licensing regulations with the following exceptions. The director or his designee may modify or waive the provision of this article or an acceptable alternative method for meeting the safeguarding intent of the provision to be modified or waived is established, and the health and well-being of children secured, except that only the appropriate fire marshal has authority to modify or waive a provision of the fire safety code. Now the question of funding. The way I understand the proposed bill, centers and family daycare homes in municipalities and the organized borough would have to set up licensing procedures to receive state daycare assistance money. But in the unorganized borough, there are no such requirements to receive state funds. That seems very discriminatory to children. If a community chose not to set up licensing or was unable to, and they were located within the organized borough, there would be no state aid for low-income families. even if you took away all the standards, there was certainly a price minimum below which a daycare facility could not operate. Currently in Anchorage, the average is about $175 per month in the standard and $1 per hour in family daycare homes. In some cases, state assistance pays for 90% of the daycare. So even without standards, if a very poor center could get the price down to $100 per month, where is that money going to come from if a single parent has minimum skills and a low-paying job? That child will probably be left at home alone. And Alaska has a very high rate of child abuse. So if it's children we're concerned about, we need to think long and hard about the distribution of funds. Setting up a local daycare licensing program is neither cheap or easy. Since there is no effective date in Senate Bill 753, I understand it would go into effect 9 days after passing. According to the May 8 Anchorage Times, Anchorage Municipality spokesman Sam Coxon stated before this committee that Anchorage was not prepared to take over licensing immediately, and he estimated the cost would be $216,000, which Anchorage would need state assistance to raise this year. Now, if Anchorage isn't prepared, what happens to smaller, poorer communities? One last thought relating to local licensing. Some daycare centers and preschool operators have threatened parents with raising prices or with kicking their children out of the centers in Anchorage if parents don't turn out and support loosened standards. I was unable to obtain a copy of one particular letter I am referring to before I left Anchorage yesterday, but I asked a friend to mail it to Sam Cotton and it should arrive tomorrow or Wednesday, depending on the mail. Parents don't speak out more because they're frightened and confused. But the ones who really suffer, the ones who are really frightened and confused in an unhealthy situation, are little children. They can't vote, they can't send telegrams, and they can't spend hours researching and writing statements and flying to Juneau. They may not even be able to tell their parents that they've been abused or starved or neglected. Prior to the implementation of licensing laws in the state of Alaska, the conditions of daycare facilities in Anchorage were described in front page headlines as death trap baby farms. Should this proposed law pass the state legislature, a giant step backwards will be taken for the children of Alaska. Thank you.
Other questions for Mary? Catherine?
All right, I know I'm familiar with the And of course, she said they're fortunate to be able to provide low cost, but also the low cost care. But you can never reach the building, so I'm sure it's ready. So other neighbors aren't able to come up with a standard that she can offer, largely because of that, and she has that one major advantage. So that what she's doing is beyond the scope of a lot of the other daycare centers, as far as price is concerned. Because of those, that is a major factor with her, and she recognizes.
Well, I realize that her care is even better, but she's been able to provide it for a reason, you know, one of the cheaper places until just very recently. So I'm saying that other places can still meet some minimum standards. They might not come up to Hillcrest, but I still think that they can meet some minimum standards without just saying, okay, we have one woman in there with 25 or 32. And money is important, but I mean, what's going to happen to these kids that have that kind of environment? Are we going to wind up spending our tax dollars to have them in drug programs and various halfway houses? I feel we're going to have a generation of social misfits if they don't have the proper care in those early years. Let's put our money into that rather than later down the road when we have to take care of jails and halfway houses and this kind of thing. These little people are tomorrow's citizens. And everybody's jumping up and down, money, money. Well, that's important, and we've got to fund it, but we find money for all kinds of other good things, but nobody thinks about children. And as I said earlier, the public schools, the requirements for kids over six, past the really formative years, my goodness, you have to have certified teachers, and you have to have all kinds of requirements. But what about little ones? You know, they can't speak up for themselves at all. And that really scares me.
Mr. Hackney?
You know, just a passing comment. There are those who feel that the really the best place to take care of young children is in their own home. Your comment about the situation in Anchorage, would you think that standards would fall in Anchorage immediately if this bill were passed?
Absolutely.
Why do you feel that when the local officials in Anchorage are answerable to you as a taxpayer in the Anchorage area?
Because for one of the reasons I pointed out about this letter, this whole threatening thing, I don't think, for one thing, parents with young children that are working, they're tired, they can only do so much. And people with a business interest, they get out and they write letters and they get out to the assembly and they leap up and down and they go out and say, my God, they're going to shut us down. And everybody says, well, they're the only ones here. So they're listened to. And parents, well, this whole thing about the frightening letters, it's really awful. The preschool people, the Montessori schools, and a number of people got out in force and, said that, and got the help board to write preschools out of the borough regulations. And the last assembly meeting last winter was a screaming match of about, hundreds of people out. And the assembly got so disgusted that they sent the local code back to the health board, who rewrote it, and nobody is an expert on children. And so we still got a situation that comes up before the assembly Tuesday night. But I'd like to speak to your comment about the best place for young children is in the home. Okay, maybe that's ideal conditions, but one, in Alaska we've got a terribly high cost of living. And in Anchorage it costs $50,000 for the most modest dwelling. Now, if a young family wants a home of their own, $50,000 home means payments of about $500 a month. And unless one spouse has got a damn good job, it's going to take both of them. So that's one thing. And what do you do if my husband dropped dead tomorrow? What choice would I have? And what choice, if I dropped dead tomorrow, what choice would my husband have? When you've got a widows and widowers and divorced people, what do those people do? They have to eat. Do they go on welfare? Is that any way to bring up a child? Or do they go to work and have a good, respectable job and hope they can find good daycare that can put their child in? There's a lot of people that just have no choice. Maybe the ideal middle class standards are to have your child in the home and take care of them. But there just isn't a choice for a lot of people.
Are there further questions?
Yes.
Mr. Olson.
I'll follow on with Representative Hackney on questions. You don't have much faith in your local government, I think.
Well, Sam Coxon has already come here and said it would take $216,000 to implement this thing, and that Anchorage would need at least until March of 1977 to do it. So I think that right there, if you're talking about making this thing instantly effective.
But then, I don't know, I think we've come out of tougher scrapes than that, but even around with that, you have more or less stated that they are incapable of not trustworthy. You might as well say, put it you don't trust them to be able to issue a license. You never mentioned anything about cost. You just said they were not competent enough to issue a license. I don't quite go along with that.
I'm not saying that they're not competent enough.
That's what you said in your report.
Okay, that they may not choose to.
You are saying something that isn't even a fact as yet. You are putting them on the side of the fence, okay. Say that they're not going to. They might even be better. If there's nothing in your report, I may follow this. That kind of irritates me. It's nothing but a negative report.
I'm very concerned.
Well,
okay, we've already had indications in Anchorage of very strong opposition to strict standards for daycare. That's been going on for the past year.
Well, that's under the state.
I beg your pardon?
That's under the state now, isn't it?
For the local borough regulations, there's been strong opposition to it.
But what's that? What's it under now?
State and borough.
Well, it's, and you said in here that even under the state it isn't.
They're revising the whole thing with the borough formal code. It's been, the revision thing has been going for some time. I wasn't involved in it at the very beginning. But there's a lot of opposition to it and having any kind of strict standards.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, for clarification, the Anchorage Borough also licenses or certifies or approves daycare facilities in addition to what the state does. That's percentage only, and I think that's what she's talking about in terms of their code.
Right, it's kind of confusing. There's been a dual thing, or I didn't even, wasn't absolutely sure of, and then we had unification, so we no longer have a borough, so that confuses it even more.
Are there further questions?
Not right now.
Thank you very much. We've only got 10 minutes left. There's two people that are left on the list here, Marjorie Fields and Rosalie Walker. Are both of you going to be here tomorrow?
I would really like to be here now.
Okay.
You have two small children without daycare.
You were next on the list anyway.
Thank heavens, my husband was able to go to work late this morning. I couldn't have been here this morning. My name is Marjorie Fields. I'm a mother and a teacher. My background includes a bachelor's in education and a master's in early childhood education. I teach at the college level, and I've also been involved in planning and consulting for daycare. My beliefs have been influenced by studies of material written by such experts in the field of education and child development as Jerome Bruner, James Hines, Catherine Arena, Laura Allen, and Sean Paget. I've also learned a great deal from my association with several classes of first graders and kindergartners, which I have taught, and from my own two cents. I am here to testify against Senate Bill 753. Thank you very much. Should not be the rights and responsibilities of daycare providers, regulatory agencies, and local administrators, but rather the needs of young children. Daycare homes and centers influence children in their care for most of the waking hours during the most crucial years of their lives. By far, the greatest rate of growth during a lifetime, mentally and physically, occurs during the first 6 years of life. By the time a child enters school, his brain has reached 90% of its adult size. The child's self-concept is also initiated during these first 6 years. The environment in which he spends his time and the quality of adult interaction during this period affects his total life as in no other period. Some view daycare as a safe place to park a child for the day, much like a garage. The hope is to pick up the child at the end of the day the same as he was left, undented and unscratched. However, young children refuse to stay the same. Their insatiable drive to learn and to understand their world drives them to explore and discover nearly every minute. They learn even when no one knows that teaching is going on. That is why it is important to regulate the kinds of things they are learning. A child may be kept very safe, but learn that a good girl sits quietly and doesn't ask questions about anything. This type of learning does permanent damage to the intellectual potential of that child, as well as depriving her of the essential stimuli needed for proper intellectual development at that time. The situation described is very likely to occur when the ratio of adults to children is allowed to drop in order to provide for greater profits. In attempts to keep order and ensure safety, the daycare provider with large numbers of children to look after would likely encourage non-activity, certainly would not have the time for listening, responding to, and encouraging language development. And probably would also have difficulty making sure each child felt special and important and competent in his world. Most certainly, large numbers of children to plan for would hamper the planning and matching of learning activities with individual interests and individual levels of development. I feel strongly that consistently high standards of daycare need to be enacted and enforced. This is not an unimportant task to be tossed to whomever is willing to do it. Even if willing to take on this job, not all municipalities will have available the qualified personnel needed. In my experience, health and social services has been very sensitive to the needs of children and responsive to the varying ways in which these needs could best be met in different situations. I have been impressed by the flexibility which allowed for a variety of circumstances to be considered in licensing. And I have some examples of those. I'll wait and see if we have time. although I find fault with some wording and organization of the proposed Health and Social Services Day regulation, the intent, as I perceive it, is simply to protect the interests of children, not to infringe on the interests of any adults. The fire and sanitation codes, however, often tend to be so rigid as to preclude or severely limit licensed daycare in many communities. I have especially been impressed with the efforts on the part of Health and Social Services to provide materials and information to daycare providers on topics such as educational methods and learning activities appropriate to young children, nutrition and appetizing meals, and first aid techniques. And I have here a folder of materials that are very precious to me that I would like back. But these are some examples of some of the things that Health and Social Services has put out, which I'd like for you to be able to look at. These are some of the newsletters they send out, which daycare mothers, I've heard, express great appreciation for. This is a list of books available on a lending library basis that daycare providers are encouraged to use that are available in the Health and Social Services office. And this is a lovely little book for parents on how to choose daycare. All of these have been in the area of education that was done by Health and Social Services this year.
Perhaps you could leave those with the committee for...
If I get that, yes.
Sure.
The Division of Health and Social Services has not just set up standards for daycare. It has also attempted to help daycare providers meet those standards. I admire their goals and efforts and would like to see them continued. For these reasons, I believe that Senate Bill 753 should not be adopted.
Other questions?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
In these daycare centers, how many of the children there are from the low income, and how many are from other parents that can well afford it?
What daycare centers are you?
Well, any of them. I don't care.
Well, it certainly varies from center to center. Some of the ones in town seem to have predominantly children with assistance, daycare assistance.
Well, I think what I'm trying to get is that what we're really concerned about is those in the low income.
Yes, I
am. And now there's in the daycare center here in Chuno, and it's both types. For example, if I could afford, I mean, didn't need to be in high income, say, for example, but yet I could have my children there also, in competition with those in the low income.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Well, I'll try to get it straight here. But I'm getting that in this daycare centers, it isn't just restricted to low income, is it?
No.
Well, maybe that's where the whole fault is.
I believe that some of them do give preferential treatment to families with the greatest need for daycare. And therefore suggests the greatest need for additional income.
But would you object to it being that those for the low income, that's the only ones that they would be entitled to if they were licensed in such a manner? And those that can afford it, realistically, let them find their own. What we're concerned about, basically, is the low income, isn't it?
Well, I believe they need the greatest help, but I think that all children are entitled to daycare centers and homes that meet some basic...
You mean if the parents can't afford to stay home and raise their own children, they still should have daycare? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, that's what you're getting at. Well, that's another issue. But
well, this is what we're involved in, this type of issue right now. That's what I'm asking.
Whether or not
women
have a right to work if they wish.
No, I'm saying what I'm asking is that which are we involved in? We take care of those in the low income, or those of anyone.
I believe.
Which has priority?
I believe the priority should go to the children of parents who
must work. Right, and that's what I would be more concerned. I believe in taking care of the young and the old. But I do believe that parents capable can take care of their own also.
Simply because we do believe in local input when it comes to any major decisions concerning the children. Nothing is born without a struggle, and any new idea or concept is always met with fear, delusion, misapprehension, and sometimes hysteria. Senate Bill 753 is indeed revolutionary for Alaska, and the variety of responses that have been exhibited should certainly be expected. Recently, in the field of early child development, Alaska has been quite innovative. Unfortunately, our innovations get very little statewide publicity. Yet, as a result of national surveys and reports, other states frequently consult the Department of Education seeking information regarding our early childhood projects, including daycare. Nationally, there is great concern as to which agency should best handle the situation of daycare licensing. So this problem is not unique to Alaska. The American Federation of Teachers are putting forth a major effort to place daycare services in public schools. Several states are experimenting with many variations to use as alternatives to one agency control. Local participation signifies local responsibility. With regard to the implementation of Senate Bill 753, every community, from the smallest to the largest, now have the necessary resources available to them for daycare licensing. Believe it or not, the smaller communities are very sophisticated in their child development knowledge. As a result of Head Start programs, public health nurses, health service aides, and Department of Education. I strongly contend that all communities can produce good regulations, enforce them with facility, and perform the necessary activities at minimal cost. There is no guarantee that quality control exists simply because the control is on state level. If daycare licenses are to be effective, the regulations must be understandable to any citizen. They must be specific enough that any person knows what to do and why it has to be done. Regulations must be enforceable in that they are capable of measurement and comprehensive enough to offer the necessary protection. The diverse geographic, social, and ethnic characteristics of our state prohibit the placement of this great responsibility on any one state agency. In an effort to serve the entire population of our peculiar state, an administrative agency usually finds itself burdened with reams of complex policies and procedures that result in many hours of ineffective behavior, not to mention the cost factor. Communities are clamoring to participate in decisions that affect them on a local level. And I will bring this publication to your attention that came out, I think, about 3 years ago, where the communities are asking for control over what happens to their children from daycare on through. I tend to agree with Mr. Granada. Senate Bill 753 should mandate that the communities establish regulations. It is my firm belief that the communities are ready, willing, and able to do the job. A variety of agencies are currently prepared to offer technical assistance to local communities for the establishment of good regulations. These agencies include, but are not limited to, the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Education, Department of Health and Social Services, RuralCAP, Community and Regional Affairs, and the Office of Child Advocacy. Within these and other agencies throughout the state, there exists a pool of highly trained and dedicated people who are capable of providing leadership and expertise necessary to design an effective licensing system. I also believe that the personnel who make up the local governmental units, together with the many non-governmental agencies, organizations, practitioners, and concerned citizens, are willing and able to provide an effective licensing system. I'm convinced that by wise and prudent management and with careful planning, communities do have the financial resources to accomplish the licensing task. No single agency at national or state level is capable of meeting the medical, social, educational, and development needs of all Alaska's children and their families. No single state agency has the equipment, facilities, or properly trained personnel to provide for the multiple needs of expectant mothers, newborn infants, toddlers, preschool, and school-aged children. I would submit to you that we must give close attention to the problem of fragmented services in Alaska. They cannot be brought together in a comprehensive, coordinated whole on the state level. The task is too enormous. The needs are too diverse. And historical independent nature of Alaskans in determining their own policies and programs are just too strong. I urge you to adopt Senate Bill 753 with consideration given to the effective date and mandatory regulations. Even though the concept is new to Alaska, it is not detrimental to our children. Parents are ultimately responsible for their children. Thus, it appears logical that parents should be able to decide what they want for their children on a local basis. Thank you.
Are there questions, Rosalie, from the committee? Mr. Osi.
I was looking through all these papers and things. One thing, how many daycare centers are there in Juneau, for example?
In Juneau, there are five.
Five. And we keep hearing about the tremendous expense. it is going to be the licenses. I can't see where it would be that expensive to license five and check on them once in a while.
Well, this is what's amazing to me, sir. When the gentleman from Anchorage spoke about the cost factor, Anchorage has been performing this responsibility for, I know, 5 years with 3 staff people. And they had a more sophisticated, a more effective system than, in my estimation, the state's system was. And now, even though they did not license the homes, they were able to keep up with those centers pretty well, plus give technical assistance.
How many times are these homes visited here now in Juneau, do you know?
The homes?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Is anyone here?
How many times are the homes visited?
Generally, a new home is visited twice, and an old one getting renewed is generally visited once. But
a year?
In June, yeah. Or I think that's a standard throughout. However, if there are complaints, the visits happen more often.
Or if there's a problem at home, and they turn out a request if they take out.
Well, thank you, Rosalie. We have 3 out-of-town guests today, and the first one here on the list is Sue Taylor from Bethel Social Services.
I'm Susan Taylor, and I'm from Bethel. I've lived in Bethel in the Bethel area for 8 years as a school teacher and as a community liaison person at school and as a director of the daycare center and receiving home. And I'm here to testify for Senate Bill 753. I think it's an excellent idea, and the time has come, mainly because it speaks to the diversity of needs, particularly the needs in the rural areas, which have long been denied. We have a great lack of facilities in the rural areas in terms of licensed homes and licensed centers, mainly because nobody knows that they're supposed to be licensed and because there aren't any personnel or people that come out and help us get places licensed. And so most places aren't licensed. People taking children a lot of times just take them in, don't get paid, and don't receive any federal money or state money. I think this bill helps in the attitude toward the people, particularly in the rural areas, because there has been a very poor attitude toward us in general. I think the proposed regulations indicate that kind of attitude, which speak to ignorance on the part of people and the fact that people don't care about children in the state's estimation. I think that the regulations say that the centers and homes and parents in general don't know as well as the state knows, and I don't think that's true. In addition to that, in the rural areas, it may be hard for you to imagine, but we are not even told when there are public hearings, even when they're held in Bethel. There's no publicity about public hearings, for example, on the daycare regulation. It was never advertised. I testified, but I was the only one who testified. I was the only one who knew about it, as far as I know. And I think it just points up the poor attitude that we've had to put up with from the Department of Health and Social Services and in general from state government. I think that probably this bill, I don't know all the ramifications of it at this point, but I certainly think that it would be hard to argue against the fact that I think this bill would make community, I think community control would be much more effective than state control. As it is now, regulations that exist are not enforced because there's no one to enforce them. I think the proposed regulations that they came up with are unenforceable, and I don't think anybody would ever come to enforce them. They just don't live there. I think there's no better way to have quality care than to have people actively involved in setting those kinds of standards and understanding what programs are, and then making assurances that those things are done for children. And I can see this working very well in a place like Bethel, probably in Nome, and even in villages in the Bethel area. I think the things that remain, which people have apparently argued about, but the fire and sanitation and child protection things remain in this bill, and those are the things that we do need. In terms of the program and the other standards for licensing, I really believe that communities can come up with what they need, and I think with technical assistance provided by the state, they'll come up with good standards. I think it's ridiculous to assume that because we have regulations now that there is quality care. Obviously, there isn't quality care. We hear a lot about some bad places in urban areas. I hear a lot about them. So something's wrong. Something's out there, as far as I can see. If it's not working well now, I think that we need a change. I think it's been like this a long time, and I think that this bill would make an effective change, which would allow for quality care for children.
Mr. Hackney?
Do you think the regulations would be better enforced if they were written on the local level?
Oh, definitely.
Why?
Because I think when they're written on the local level, particularly in a rural area, I think people understand them. I mean, even I have a hard time understanding things that are written on the Juno level. I mean, a lot of it's, you know, a language that doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. If they're written on a local level with some technical assistance by state personnel, I think then many more people understand what they mean and why they're being written. I think that's essential. And then they'll be able to enforce them because they know what they say.
Well, how do you see this technical assistance being taken care of from state personnel?
Well, ideally, I think, I don't know who or where, but if a person or persons are stationed, say, in Anchorage or in Juneau, and a place like Bethel is wanting to write some regulations or standards for the center, they would contact a person or person in Juneau and say, look, we want to do this. Why don't you come on out and bring us the background and the history and what is happening elsewhere in the state and sit down and spend a week with us and do this.
So you see the possibility of the standards not being less than they are now, but being more adequately enforced?
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, what I think is that I have a great deal of faith in people who operate centers and parents who place children in centers or in homes. And if they're the people writing the standards, I think they'll be better standards. And they'll be enforceable standards.
Lisa, I think
I don't quite know how to phrase this, but is what you're saying that if the bill passes, you're going to have more licensed centers in Bethel, for instance, that are going to be a better standard than what you have now that are unlicensed?
Yes, I think so.
Or do you, the other side of the coin, or are you just going to have unlicensed centers that may not meet safety standards?
No.
In other words, do you see a raising in the level of standards just by merit of local control?
Yes, I do. And one reason for that, Lisa, I think, is the fact that all of a sudden a lot of people are going to become aware of the fact that these places are supposed to be licensed. People don't know that, you know, and that there are certain minimum standards that they do have to meet. You know, people don't know that. And a lot of the standards, you know, I mean, they may not make sense, but a lot of them will make sense. And when people become aware of the fact that you have to be licensed, I think a lot of the homes that now take their children in the villages and in Bethel will improve in terms of the quality of the home.
Go ahead.
As far as the question of Bethel being able as a municipality, for instance, to set up a licensing procedure and so on, are you connected with the city government, or do you know whether any thought has gone into that, or whether any budgeting has been prepared for it, or staffing requirements, or anything of that nature?
Nothing tangible. There has been some thought to that because there's been more and more legislation that puts things back on the community level, and so we have talked. I work a little bit with the city under the Community and Regional Affairs Day Care Program, and also I'm on the Planning Commission of the city. And so we've talked about doing those kinds of things on a local level. And although there's no money budgeted and no staff hired, I think the community is willing and able. The city sent a telegram in support of this. I think they're willing and able to do that. And I think with the technical assistance I spoke to, I think they're quite capable of doing it.
Yeah.
I have a couple. First, do you have a child in the daycare center?
No.
That was probably isn't a fair question. But I was wondering,
normal.
how the people out there would, if they have complaints, criticism, are you aware of how they've gotten control of, how they got in contact, and what response they did have with the department the way it is out now?
Well, In terms of daycare?
Yes.
I don't think anybody would go to the department to complain about daycare. I don't think anybody has that I know of.
I'm talking about the present system the way it is now.
The present system is such that a lot of people are not aware of the department in terms of what they do and
well, the people that are being subsidized by it, they must be aware of it, aren't they?
Well, yeah. They have not gone to the department, for example, to complain about daycare that I'm aware of.
Well, as I say, it probably isn't a fair question for you. But now, also in this daycare, what do the people really want in daycare that they're not getting now? Other than a bunch of regulations or what? I mean, you come here now, you must have some reason for it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, I don't find that the state has offered me any help or assistance in a daycare program, which is a hard program to operate. For me, it's a losing battle in terms of money. I mean, I don't make money. We lose money. It's a nonprofit corporation.
Well, do you have a daycare? Oh, that's not it. No, I was... so then you should be able to answer that one of those had any gripes or complaints.
Well, that's what I said. They generally come to the people who run the center. I don't know them going to the department.
Well, then do you go to the department?
Well, I go there, yeah.
Do you get good cooperation there from you? Any complaints from them?
I only go to them generally because they don't pay their bills very
well.
And the licensing people are in Fairbanks, you realize, but not in Bethel, they're in Fairbanks. So we see them once a year, only when they have to come out and they spend a couple hours in the center and they leave. It's not a responsive kind of system.
Do you have any kind of schooling going on in your daycare center?
Mm-hmm. We have 4 certificated teachers.
Would you be able to have this under the city?
Oh, sure.
Who does the teaching?
4 teachers.
Huh?
We have 4 teachers.
How are you going to compensate for them if it's going to be under the city?
You see, the state only gives us money for 5 children under health and social services. You know, what in terms of the money they put into our center, it's the least amount of money.
What is the age group then of your children?
3, 4, and 5 years.
What I'm trying to get at is, do people want a daycare center or do they want a kindergarten?
No, they want a daycare center. They have a kindergarten.
They have a kindergarten now.
The daycare center is much like a preschool. I mean,
They want it more as a school than they do as a daycare center.
Well, they want both. We have a lot of different people. There are people who want it just for daycare, and there are people who want it as a preschool, and there are people who want it so they won't abuse their children. There's a lot of different reasons that people would want daycare.
Well, I think basically the day for daycare was to help the people that need help.
Right.
But if they're going to start hiring teachers, qualified teachers and things of this sort in there, it's going to be an expensive venture and it's going to cost the state more.
It doesn't cost the state anything.
It's subsidizing.
Only the children who are eligible. We've always had certified teachers in our program. Teachers who don't want to teach in the school system, who live in Bethel and who want to live in the school system. And the center has been in Bethel since 1970, and it's always had certificated teachers.
Is there any age limit as to the children that you will take in?
5, age 5.
And how about downwards?
To age 3.
Age 3 to 5. So there is really preschool, isn't there?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so I want to ask how you envision this community involvement once you are given the responsibility for setting up your own regulations. Do you see that as the local involvement of parents and maybe people on your staff and how they would kind of get it together to set up your own regulations? It's been mentioned that the areas that should be covered are staffing, space, program, and nutrition. Some of the same areas of the state, but in fact. And would you find that that was... that you would be able to get people involved on a local level in setting those up?
The standards for them?
Yes, the standards.
Oh, definitely. I think it would be an ideal system because I could see it working as a subcommittee of the city, being composed of staff and parents and agency people and social workers and, well, whoever would like to be, like Head Start has their committees for the center. And those are I agree with having standards for those items very much. And I think that they would be developed, could be developed in a local way.
Because that's not already in the law, but this is the way of getting it started. But at least the areas would be singled out that need to have coverage in the licensing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
wanted to ask another question, and that was, how many licensed and non-licensed centers are there in Bethel?
There's one licensed.
Just the one. And any unlicensed or any, are there just informal arrangements?
Just informal arrangements. Nothing occupied.
Are there further questions from the committee?
Just one. How many did you say were subsidized in your daycare?
Under community regional fair?
Yes, in your daycare center. How many of those?
Of the kids? 17 out of about 50.
Well, you have quite an operation. You have 50 children all together.
It's licensed for 40, and we have 50 enrolled, staggered.
Okay. What do you mean staggered?
Some kids go home at noon, and some come at noon.
They never have more than 40 at once. So
right, yeah.
I just have one question, and it's something you mentioned about it first about the fire code and sanitation code and so forth. Has the fire marshal come around and visited your place?
Oh, yeah, he comes.
What does he?
Fire marshal comes every year, and the sanitation guy comes usually twice a year.
What do? Do they check it off and then give you a ticket or something?
Yeah, they give you they go through the whole place, and then they tell you where you are deficient, if you are deficient, and then give you a time frame for correcting that deficiency. And then they come back to make sure that you have done it. And they're very helpful because they have objective standards and they tell you why they're doing things, and it makes sense.
Where's the sanitation guy? Where does he? Which department is he? Is he a state sanitation officer?
Health and Social Services, public health, environmental protection, environmental health. I think out of Anchorage.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Rossi.
Frank, how big is your staff? How many do you have?
I have 11 people.
11 people. And if this goes under the city, do you feel you have a decrease in the number of staff?
No, I don't.
You will keep that?
I don't think anything
has
changed in terms of staffing and money.
What would you want to know? You don't have to answer this one, but what is the cost for a child in daycare?
It's $8.75 for a full day and $4.50 for a half day. And I understand that's cheap.
Do they have to come every day, or how does this?
Pardon me?
Do they have to come every day?
No.
Do they have to pay if they're not there?
No.
Just
for their actual.
It's food. A drop center.
No.
Come on now, you're going to mess up on the terms.
Okay. No, what I mean is you can drop it anytime you want.
No, they're all regular.
Are they given health examination every day?
We take them up to the health center and the hospital a lot.
Okay, thank you.
I just have one more question, and I think what Al was leading up to, too, is something that isn't really spelled out. What's your funding, where your funding comes from besides the supplemental or the AMDC too?
What we get is what we do. Parents, we have the DIA sponsors and children. Up to 20 children because of the problems we had with Title 4A, and we had a lot of kids who needed a lot of service. We have contact with BIA, and then we have Health and Social Services and Community Regional Affairs.
Thank you very much. Candy? Candace Cottle?
Candy Cottle, Secret Treasurer of Whittier. Formerly the Seaport Treasurer of Wasilla, administrator of the program in Wasilla, and also was on the program. And I'm speaking in favor of Senate Bill 753. I am in favor of it because I believe it allows we locals to get involved. You have given us the money to administer, and you have made us determine the eligibility of the participants. But we haven't been able to get in touch with you as far as setting any policies of our own, any regulations. And I think it's time. And I think this bill gives us that ability. We have a problem in that we cannot get in touch necessarily with Health and Social Services. If we have problems in our area, we have to go through channels. When I was in Wasilla, we had 5 daycare homes. And one of them was not operating as it should be. The children were not getting the care that they should be. I complained about this, and as far as I know, it still hasn't been started. The person is still a licensed daycare mother. By giving it or putting our licensing with the local communities, with the cities, when we need facilities, which we need desperately. In Whittier, we don't have any. Right now, we're in the process of building a center, a small community center that will be able to house a daycare center because we need it. We don't have any facility now. People are going to mothers, you know, no regulations, nothing. Mothers are fine to take care of children, but they get any kind of help. A daycare center does usually give children help to grow, to become accustomed to going to a school situation or become accustomed to playing with other children correctly in order to get along in this world. Right now, as I said, we're in the process of doing this, so we are trying to get involved. You know, we're a local community. We're trying to take some responsibility on ourselves. We're trying to get involved. To the licensing, I have waited 5 months in Wasilla in order to get a licensed facility, a daycare home. When I went into the program, we had one daycare center with 44 slots. The only problem there, they took children no younger than 2 years of age. And at that time, we were crying for our children to be placed in daycare homes. We had 5 daycare homes, they were all full. We waited for 5 months in order to get another daycare home licensed. And this waiting was calling. The gal was a licensed teacher, brand new home. Everything was there. She'd been licensed in Seward. There should be absolutely no problem. Her references were there. No problem at all in licensing this gal. The problem was that the social worker and the Palmer was the only one on the program. She had no help, and she couldn't get to everyone. Then it was kicked to the Anchorage office, and finally a call from Harvey Pitts had to straighten it out. We had to wait that long. We had 3 kids that could have been placed immediately, and then we had 3 more come in that could have been placed, and we never had an empty slot in any of the other places. If we had been allowed to go in and license our own, that gal would have been licensed. We could have provided help for 5 months for those children. All right, strictly from an administration point of view, we have the ADC kids and we have the state daycare kids. And we have reams of paperwork. We have right now ADC kids can't go under state daycare. So we have to separate them and say, no mother, I'm sorry. You're receiving money from another source, therefore we can't take you on. But we'll put you in this program. We have the state daycare kids, okay. We'll put you over here. And then we get to the end of the month. One report has to be in by the 1st of the month. One report has to be in by the 15th of the month. We have 5 pieces of paper for each thing and forms of the yin-yang for each mother, files, this sort of thing. And it's a hassle. I was able to handle it by myself. A community that was handling more than we were, undoubtedly could have put an extra staffing. Extra researchers in order to go out and make sure that people that come in want to be on state daycare or not on ADC. So it's an administration point of view too. Now, can we work under the Department of Community and Regional Affairs? This department has been set up strictly for local government assistance. Not strictly, but when we in rural area, in local government have a problem, we come to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. It is our link with the state government. They have been handling this program. We get response from them. There's always somebody to answer the phone, to research something, to get it back to you within the day, if possible. If not, you'll get a letter within a couple of days. They're a fantastic organization. They have the responsibility. They have the technical expertise. They can come to us. They can set up our regulations if they're not correct. They're going to have to oversee them. We're going to have to go under the same protection laws anyway that we have now. We're certainly not going to change that. We're going to have the Department of Community and Regional Affairs that is there. We're not going to have to go through channels in order to get to Health and Social Services, which is a fine organization, but not set up for health in local communities. So I think that we are going to be able to function very, very well.
Yeah.
Yes. One thing I want to ask you is, what do they, working mother or father, single person,
have a child. They have priority in getting the children enrolled in a daycare center?
The single parent family? Actually, it's based, as far as getting a daycare center, under this particular program, it's based more on your need, your financial needs. It's very expensive to put children into daycare. And I was, okay, single parent, yes.
Let me rephrase it again. That is, the mother or father, single mother or father, who is, has to work and is in low income, do they get priority?
Yes.
Or is it just that up for grabs, first there, first served?
No, you have to set priority. If you have slots open,
well,
then
this
you
I
try
know,
and fill
if,
them,
but,
right?
But I'm going to get at this next question, maybe that's it, is that if it is filled, and here comes a low-income working mother that's to put her child in, and here is Representative Hackley with all the money in the world has his daughter in there, does she go and put her in? Well, then this is kind of defeating the purpose of this daycare. That's, as far as I'm concerned. Well, it was...
No, she stays. He goes. He doesn't get on the program.
Well, I mean, he's already on the program.
She doesn't care.
It can't be because he doesn't qualify. Because
no, anyone can go in there. Anyone can go into the daycare.
No,
I'm getting at.
We're talking about being funded. Or whether
well,
you're
I'm talking about
in
the individuals
center.
That's going to go in there. You kept referring to slots. If there was a vacancy, there would be. But all of them aren't... children that you're being
right.
subsidized by. Other ones are from parents.
Okay,
that,
well, that's why we have to buy more facilities.
Well, but
because,
even the way it is now, then the ones that need to be in there, if it's filled up, then
okay.
There's no priority, that's what I'm dealing.
All right, under a privately subsidized daycare center, we don't have the control to go in there and
I'm not talking about private, I'm talking about these ones that are subsidized. But the main care, as far as I'm concerned, the one that the daycare centers actually set up is for those that really need it. That the parent has to work, you know, on low income, and needs his help. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I follow what you're saying.
But then if it's going to be just open for grabs, so that...
Okay, well, anyone has the right to provide a daycare center.
Okay.
And then it would be licensed for so many children to be in there. But the only thing that we can do is to help subsidize a certain proportion. Perhaps we could get people to go over completely to daycare assistance. We can't say, because you have 44 slots, that you have to provide 44 openings for our kids. They're, you know, a privately subsidized organization that happens to be taking state money.
Well, I'm very frank. I'm not very sympathetic to parents that don't have to work to support their, and they're both working just because they wanted to work and they'd rather have somebody else babysit their kid. I'm not very sympathetic, but I am sympathetic to the individual that is in a low income, that has to work, has no place to leave the child, needs help. That's the one I want to help. The other ones, I'm not very sympathetic towards them.
I think that's where
that's all I have.
Lisa.
The problem is defining what having to work is. You know, having to work for some people is different than having to work for other people. Where you draw the economic line, it's hard to define.
Go ahead.
You spoke about the paperwork that's required using the estate. Do you think the paperwork would be any less or would just be closer?
Good question. As far as the licensing, I think that it would be far less. I mean, we might have a form. I don't know precisely what type of a form we would have. You know, you have certain things that you have to require of people that wish to be licensed. But we would have, you know, we would have it. And we wouldn't have to send.
You could control it.
Yes, yes, and we'd know where it was. It would be in our files, and it wouldn't be, I remember seeing that. I'll go back to it, you know, 3 weeks later. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was here. Or, I'm sorry, we're seeing you at this place.
Any other questions? We have one more out of town. Thank you very much, Candy.
We have a
exhibits what they pay for and pays to the, you know, the daycare, those are for low income.
Well, see, it's on an individual basis. Each person qualifies on an individual basis. Phil?
Morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Phil Smith. I'm the Executive Director of the Rural Alaska Community Action Program. I'm here to speak in favor of the passage of Senate Bill 753. The last session of the legislature passed Senate Bill 120. Which provided a state daycare assistance fund, and in their wisdom, the legislature placed that program within the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. And the program became effective as of July 1st last year. The program wasn't really fully implemented, and I'm sure that the people from Community and Regional Affairs here can jump on me if I'm wrong, but it was.